Hello, Mzanzi. You are listening to Farmers Inside Track, proudly brought to you by Food for Mzanzi. Officially, this is the world's best podcast for 2024, as awarded by One IFRA, and that's, of course, the Global Organization for the World's Press. I'm your host, Duncan Masiwa, and welcome to episode 470, powered by CropLife South Africa. Now, in this episode, we dive into the new regulations for agricultural remedies introduced in 2023, a significant shift for South Africa's agricultural sector. CropLife South Africa's regulatory manager, Rolien Leganti, and regulatory specialist, Anushka Gogol, joins us to break down these changes, from stricter requirements for trials to global harmonization standards. This episode explores the complexities of the new framework and how it affects stakeholders. We'll also discuss the faster registration of certain remedies, new responsibilities for producers, and the mandatory reporting of adverse reactions. Whether you're a farmer, producer, or simply curious about agricultural remedies, this episode provides valuable insights into what's new and noteworthy. Anushka, Rolien, welcome to Farmers Inside Track.
Thank you so much.
Lovely having you here. It's not an easy topic to unpack, but let's see how best we can do. Rolien, looking at you, the new regulations relating to the agricultural remedies were promulgated last year. Share with us some background on what this means, within whose mandate these regulations fall, and I suppose what type of products are we referring to when we use the term agricultural remedies?
Thanks, Duncan. It's quite a technical topic talking about regulations, so we'll try and make it as easy as possible. So as you mentioned, the regulations you are referring to are called the regulations relating to agricultural remedies. And as you mentioned, these were promulgated last year in August of 2023 under the Fertilizers, Farm Feeds, Agricultural Remedies and Stock Remedies Act, which is also referred to as Act Number 36 of 1947. So this act falls within the mandate of the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. And the registrar of the act is then appointed by the minister. Not sure how the elections and our new Minister of Agriculture will maybe amend this, because as far as I'm aware, it's no longer the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, only Department of Agriculture. So we'll see if there's any changes relating to that. But when we look at the name of the act, we see that it relates to different types of products such as fertilizers, farm feeds, which includes pet food, for example, agricultural remedies and stock remedies, but it also regulates pest control operators and also sterilizing plants that are not specifically mentioned in the name of the act. Based on this information, you can see that although various products and services are regulated under the act, the regulations relating to agricultural remedies that we are discussing today are specific to the products that we refer to as agricultural remedies. And this then brings us to your next question. So what exactly are we referring to when we talk about an agricultural remedy? For this, we need to go to the Act and see what the Act defines as an agricultural remedy. And essentially, this is a chemical substance or biological remedy or any mixture or combination of any substance or remedy intended or offered to be used for the destruction, control, repelling, attraction, or prevention of any undesired microbe, algae, nematode, fungus, insect, plant, vertebrate, invertebrate, or any product thereof. And then it goes on to mention products that are exempted from the Act because they're regulated under a different Act. And then it also includes plant growth regulators, defoliants, desiccants, or legume inoculants. So although this is a mouthful, I think what is important to take note of, and that many people are not aware of, is that an agricultural remedy is not just conventional chemical pesticides, but it also includes biological products and encompassed products making claims of repelling, attraction, or prevention. So even when you think of pheromone-based products used to attract pests or where it's used for mating disruption, even these products would also be considered agricultural remedies under the Act and are thus regulated under the regulations relating to agricultural remedies.
Rolien, I can definitely tell you that I'm definitely learning a lot about this act, and I'm sure our listeners listening to this conversation also, you know, new information that perhaps we did not know. And it seems like ultimately the law is to ensure that these products are regulated to protect crops and environment. Anushka, just quickly going to you, Julian mentioned now that the regulations relating to the agricultural remedies fall under Act 36 of 1947. The Act seems to be quite old if it dates back to 1947. Many decades ago, would you consider the Act outdated or do you think it's still relevant today?
The Act is quite old and there have been various claims that it is outdated and therefore no longer relevant. But what is important to note is that even if the Act dates back to 1947, there have been several amendments made to the Act itself since 1947 and various regulations have been published under the Act, with the latest being the regulation relating to agricultural remedies published in August last year, 2023. Even if the Act itself is old, new requirements are continuously being incorporated in updated regulations, as well as guidelines that are published by the Registrar of the Act. So therefore, people should definitely not have the idea that because the Act that regulates agricultural remedies dates back to 1947, that we still regulate the use, trade, and sale of these remedies the same as what was done in 1947. That would be highly inaccurate. Should the Act be updated? Probably it could use some amendments. Just for an example, in one section of the Act, it states that a person can be fined £500 instead of rands. Although this was probably just an oversight, seeing as the remainder of the Act refers to rands, this often gets quoted as a reason to justify the push to revise the Act. Although this wouldn't happen overnight, the Registrar of the Act has indicated that the Act is currently being reviewed. Therefore, we do expect a new Act to be promulgated in the near future.
That's definitely great news to hear, especially considering that it dates back to 1947. So we'll definitely keep our eyes glued to what's happening in the news and see what those updates look like. Lillian, you stated that the new requirements are being introduced with the promulgation of new regulations. Can you give us an example of a few requirements included in the newest regulations for agricultural remedies that have not always been a requirement?
There's quite a few. So I'll just mention some that might be of relevance. Several of the new requirements relate to the quality of trials and the dossier submitted to the department for evaluation. So for example, non-clinical health and environmental studies, such as residue studies, to ensure commodities treated with agricultural remedies are safe for consumption by the end user, must now be conducted in accordance with OECD GLP. And this stands for the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development Principles of Good Laboratory Practice, which is quite a mouthful. But essentially, this is a quality control system covering the organizational processes and the conditions under which trials are conducted. And this is also the international norm and the quality control system that's being used in other developed countries. Similarly, if we look at field trials, these have to be conducted for efficacy evaluation of agricultural remedies, as well as the studies to ensure that the remedy does not cause any damage to the crop on which it is being applied. These field trials need to be conducted according to EPPO-GEP. This stands for the Good Experimental Practices, developed by the European and Mediterranean Plant Protection Organization. And this system is concerned with the conditions under which trials should be planned, conducted, assessed, recorded, and interpreted, so results are comparable and reliable. In addition, several of the new requirements are included to align our regulations for agricultural remedies with the requirements of other local legislation. And some of these examples would be local field studies must be overseen by a scientist that's registered with SACNAS. And this is the South African Council for Natural Scientific Professions. And it's a legislated regulatory body for natural science practitioners regulated by the Natural Scientific Professions Act. Further, all agricultural remedies must be labeled according to the globally harmonized system of classification and labeling of chemicals. In short, this is referred to as GHS. And this is an internationally harmonized approach to classification and labeling published by the United Nations. And this requirement is to align our regulations with that of the regulations for hazardous chemical agents, which were promulgated in March of 2021 under the Occupational Health and Safety Act of 1993. So GHS is already a requirement under that act, and we've just aligned our regulations with that act. Registration holders must provide proof that they comply with the Extended Producer Responsibility Scheme for the pesticide sector, which was promulgated in March 2023 under the National Environmental Management Waste Act. And this act essentially extends responsibility of the producer to the post-consumer stage of an identified product's life cycle in terms of waste management and that management of obsolete stock and recycling of products. So you can no longer register or renew your product in South Africa if you don't belong to a scheme where you ensure that your product is taken care of at the end of its life cycle. Other changes in the regulations include the reporting of any adverse reactions, as well as any potential harmful or unacceptable effects relating to the use of your agricultural remedy. And you have to do this as soon as such information becomes available. Up until now, there's not been a publicly available list of all agricultural remedies. So the new regulations require the registrar to make a list available of all registered remedies in South Africa. The regulations require applicants to disclose information on the registration status of a remedy in other countries when they want to register the product in South Africa. And registration holders also need to supply to the registrar sales information of all agricultural remedies sold in South Africa. I think you can see from all of these requirements, there's definitely a move towards more transparency in the system. Although exposure assessments have always been conducted for registration, the regulations now require exposure to children specifically to also be taken into account when registering your remedy. And also when registering a remedy for aerial application, applicants will need to conduct a risk assessment to demonstrate clear advantages in comparison with ground applications. So I'll stop there because there's many, but you can see that there are quite a few new requirements, and most of which, in my opinion, are actually quite positive developments and also aligned with what's being done internationally.
Brilliant. There's definitely a lot to be taken into consideration, but I suppose at the core is that the new regulations require agricultural remedies to undergo rigorous testing and, of course, follow international standards. And that's, of course, for safety and effectiveness of these products. Anushka, looking at you, it's quite well known in the industry that there is a significant backlog in terms of the evaluation of applications for agricultural remedies at the registrar's office. Would all these new requirements not add to the burden of information that needs to be processed by the department and delaying evaluation times further and thus being detrimental for new technologies coming into the market?
So yes, Duncan, you are correct. There is a backlog for evaluating applications for registration at the registrar's office. So depending on the type of application, it could take up to 4 years for an application to be evaluated, which is obviously detrimental for new technologies coming to the market. Although some of the additional requirements in the regulation could create more work for the department, many of these regulations contribute favorably to the quality of trials and dossiers. And in this sense, it could perhaps decrease your evaluation time. In addition, there are some favorable developments in the regulation that could contribute to faster turnaround times for certain type of applications. So for example, there are certain applications defined as administrative minor changes. Such changes include the removal of claims from the label, including additional warnings or voluntary restrictions on the labels, changing of resistance codes, or inclusion of foreign languages. So in the past, these changes could only be made after approval by the registrar. However, the new regulation now allows for these changes to be made immediately by the registration holder after submitting the application to the department without having to wait for approval. So remember, the label of an agricultural remedy is a legal document and gets approved and stamped by the registrar to ensure that everything claimed on the label is supported by the data that was submitted by the applicant. So your commercial labels may not deviate from the label that was approved by the registrar. However, this clause allows for minor changes to be made without having to wait for approval. Another positive development relates to the registration of low-risk agricultural remedies. Essentially, the regulation allows the registrar to expedite or fast-track the registration of remedies that complies with the definition of a low-risk agricultural remedy as it is defined in the regulation, thus allowing these remedies to enter the market in a short turnaround time. So the same applies for a minor use registration, which are uses where the demand originated from a grower or a group of growers. Although the particulars of such a registration has not yet been clarified, these registrations may also be expedited by the registrar. So I won't say too much about the remedies identified as a substance of concern, seeing as we have a whole podcast episode related to this topic. But essentially, the registrar may also prioritize the registration of remedies to replace remedies that are going off the market due to being classified as substance of concern. Also, in the past, advertisements for agricultural remedies had to be submitted to the registrar for approval. However, this requirement has been removed from the regulation. Instead, the minor requirements for advertisements are provided in the regulation, and registration holders must ensure that they comply with these requirements. Removing the evaluation of advertisements from the mandate of the department obviously alleviates some of the workload of the technical advisors evaluating these applications. Also, on this topic, but not specifically related to the regulation, is the recent placement of interns at the department to assist with processing of applications and reducing the backlog. So this intern program is run by the University of Pretoria and not only has the advantage of assisting the department with our workload, but also providing much needed work experience to recent graduates, preparing them for a career in the industry.
Thank you, Olinda Khanti, Regulatory Manager at CropLife South Africa and Regulatory Specialist Anishka Gokul. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.foodformzanzi.co.za. And that's a wrap. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss any of the episodes. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan Funderfend, the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi. Thanks for listening.